Alabama was one that was nationally televised on ESPN. Nick Saban looking good in that salmon-colored suit. Don't call it pink. And he's out there just enjoying his time. He even let Slade Bolden know at his ripe age of 67 that he could throw better than him backwards. But when it comes down to the game itself, Bryce Young goes out there and looks solid. Now, this you really can't assess this as what you're going to see week in, week out with blitzes and full pat, the way that they're going to play. But still, to me, he looked pretty impressive. What were your thoughts from being at the game?
He did look impressive. He was mobile. He threw the ball well, frankly, to a plethora of receivers, 25-44, 333, and a touchdown. Now, Paul Tyson also played a little bit. Braxton Barker, who is Jay Barker's son, he also played fairly well himself. So, they've got such a unbelievable amount of receivers and running backs. Chase McClellan, for one, at running back. And then you've got Trayshon Holden, Agaiji Hall. Those guys were just, frankly, unbelievable in what they can do now at the skill position. So they are they ready to win a national championship? No. But there's as much or more talent there this year as there was last year.
Speaking with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, you can follow him on Twitter at Brent Baird, B-E-A-I-R-D. Now flip over to their rival in the Auburn Tigers, Tank Bigsby, a guy that a lot of eyes are going to be all over the nation this year. A 46-yard touchdown run, really probably the highlight of Brian Harsin, a first-year coach for the Tigers. But the game itself, there was still some stuff that you look in, and when you see a quarterback like Bo Nix going forward, is that the hope out there that he's going to have that breakout second-half performance we saw against Oregon when he was a true freshman? Maybe that, like, this is his moment kind of thing again? Or should we just understand that he's just not an elite quarterback?
Well, that's the thing we've got to figure out. And at this point, if he's not, they're going to have to try to develop someone else. I've got a freshman quarterback, Demetrius Davis. They've got Bo under center. There was a lot of talk from the Auburn beat writers about how his footwork has improved and things of that nature. But, I mean, if you're 12 of 20 for 112 yards, that still is not going to light up any media uncovering him. The thing that you mentioned is probably as important as anything else would be the offensive line being capable enough to block for Tank Bigsby. They lost Seth Williams. They lost a number of Schwartz, really good receivers. That's going to hurt them for next year. I think defensively they've got a real shot with Derek Mason. Mike Bobo is there to help Nix in this case. People forget, third game of the year for them, that they go to Penn State, which would be interesting. But again, this is probably another 8-4, 7-5 Auburn team, Chad, which is kind of where they were with Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, Brent, one thing that I noticed too, and I guess this to piggyback off of what Chad said and what you've said about Auburn, does the offensive change that Brian Harsin is bringing in with more snaps under center and more maybe more of a power element, do you think it suits Bo Nix's game a little bit more from what we've seen, or is it still too early to tell how exactly his impact is, or if his impact will be a little bit different than what we've seen traditionally with Gus Malzahn, or if it's going to be a similar type of style for him?
Well, I think the way they're structuring this is that they can get it to where Nix is not so, shall we say, dependent, in that offense dependent on him. In other words, them going running north and south will make a difference. See, what happened under Malzahn, and even some of the Auburn beat writers have mentioned this, they went way too much east and west. Malzahn wanted to give you all that eye candy, when in reality, they really were not that effective. So what they're looking at now would be, if you go more north and south with Bigsby, that probably is going to compensate for whatever Nix can't do.
Brent, looking right now at LSU, you know, when Miles Brennan and then you've had T.J. Finley, you've had a number of quarterbacks. Nobody, once you've got a taste of a, you know, Victorian filet steak, medium rare, you might have to pay a little extra, but you waited an hour and a half in line. You made reservations 4 months out. Once you've had it, it's really tough to go back to getting a steak at, like, you know, Winn-Dixie or Publix and putting it on the grill for $5 and feeling that same. But you do, and you still enjoy it. These quarterbacks in LSU are not bad, but they had Joe Burrow for a year, and they got real spoiled. And then Miles Brennan comes out there. He didn't look bad in games. Their defense just allowed 60 points. Can LSU turn it around to be competitive? And really, in the minds of their coaching staff, in their fan base, should they feel like they realistically can still compete for that number two spot, which was usually theirs when Auburn and Texas A&M were behind them? But right now, clearly they're not number two, and they have to work their way up. But do you feel that they can get back to that number two spot?
Well, yes, I do.
In the West, in the West.
And they may do it quicker than we think. I mean, Miles Brennan to Max Johnson. Max Johnson, again, was a quarterback that they got the win against Florida. And Brennan was, frankly, going to be their starter, and then he had that abdomen injury. And even T.J. Finley can play. I mean, they've got three quarterbacks who can play. Now, I think the offensive line is going to be pretty good. Kayshon Boutte and John Shay Kirkland had really good spring games, 162. Goodness, Kirkland caught 16 for 209. So, and they've got like five new coaches coming in. Jake Peace on offense, we think is going to be pretty good. But Durante Jones in the secondary has looked much better. So that's one thing they had to really get done. Now Derek Stingley is probably the best DB in the country, frankly. And look, where they're really good is their line of scrimmage. Their defensive line basically comes back intact. And when you've got that, you've always got an opportunity. So I think right now, that second spot is going to be between LSU and A&M, and right now, I tell you, Chad, it's gaining on me a little bit to look more toward LSU, maybe even it is A&M.
Yeah, that's something, Brent, that's really interesting as far as the SEC West is concerned. It's who is going to be that team that could potentially challenge Alabama. Flipping over to the East side, I was intrigued by watching Georgia to see who would stand out amongst the wide receiver group with George Pickens going down. And true freshman Adonai Mitchell was really he has stood out the most, I guess. He had seven catches for a buck five and also a touchdown. In terms of what Georgia was looking for this past weekend, was the wide receiver position one of the biggest interest points in terms of the Georgia Bulldogs, especially with George Pickens going down?
They're trouble areas or their offensive line in the secondary. Even Kirby Smart said that the group that has to make the biggest leap is going to have to be the offensive line, which is interesting, even though they've got a lot to do with and to do with the secondary. Mitchell really was good, and a lot of these guys will be fine. And they'll be back. Jermaine Burton, Dominic Blaylock, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, Willie Pickens, won't be, but George Pickens will not be back until November. The guy that really makes it intriguing for them is Darnell Washington, who is 6'7", 285. He is a real mismatch for them. So, and this team's very good. There's no question about that. I'm already picking them over Florida to win the East. And again, certainly the thing you also see with them, we know who the quarterback is going to be at this point. JT Daniels looked good. Carson Beck, the kid from Jacksonville, is frankly making a play to be the number two quarterback. So we certainly hope that happens around here. But it's a good football team with a quarterback going into the season, which is something they didn't have last year.
He's Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville as well. You can check him out on First Coast News TV over in the Jacksonville area. Brent, we always appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to getting to more spring games next week on the show, and we'll have you back on Monday, and hope you just have a blessed week.
You do too, and I'll leave with this. We are a month away from the first preseason magazine, so we will track that as the week goes by, in that we are that close to having certainly one of our favorite times of the year when the magazines come out.
It's a tradition. You know, you think in today's world, people, you know, when you talk about Christmas trees, about you can get one down the road real quick, you can last forever, but getting a fresh Christmas tree that's real, some people have that tradition. Their family wearing the same PJs that maybe don't fit them anymore. But when it comes down to it, getting the magazines in college football has been a tradition of so many people for so long. I look forward to it every single year, and it's something that, you know, I wish if I had a birthday in the middle of the summer or spring, that would be my first gift every year. Like, that's going to have to be in there. And then whatever else, like gift cards to one of those places like the movies or one of those steakhouses. Like, but I'm getting the magazine. That's been so important to so many people, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Always, and that will be much fun to anticipate that coming up, too.
Absolutely. Well, Brent, appreciate your time, and looking forward to doing it next week.
Me too, guys. Take care.